Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to episode 54 of For the Record. And today we have an in-studio guest, which you guys know we love. Straight from Boise, Idaho, we have a marketing consulting guru, the CEO of Diamond Accelerator, Caitlin Kaufman, who has a long history in the med spa industry with really turning your digital media marketing strategy upside down and making it super profitable and super productive for your practice. And we're going to talk about the real deal today and a lot of the things you shouldn't do, what you should be doing, and how to make your marketing strategy work for your practice. So we are so happy to have you here today to talk about my favorite topic ever, which is marketing and growing your leads. So welcome to our show.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here at Aesthetic Record headquarters in Texas. Thanks for having me.
She's fresh off a plane. It's late one night, and she's just come in from our rental car place, which is a disaster in Dallas. So we're here, and we're ready to rock and roll. So Caitlin, I want to give our audience a bit of an idea about what you've been doing, what you do now, just all the things, how you're making magic with all these med spas.
Thank you. Well, I am just thrilled, lucky, passionate to work with med spas all across the country on their marketing, their business, and their leadership. And it's just such an exciting time, wouldn't you agree, in med spas, and its growth and change, like, continuously. So I'm so thrilled to be a part of the industry.
Yeah, I think it's gotten so competitive in the last 3 to 5 years that if you don't have a really strong marketing strategy, you won't survive.
No.
Like, used to could build it and they would come, right? There was like 6 of us in a city. You'd build it, they'd show up, everything is great. Now there's like 60 in a city. And I think the entire industry is far different now. If you're not looking at analytics and, you know, Google ads and keywords, and you don't have SEMrush and all these things you have to have, it's really hard on your own to do any of it. Like, it's a full-time job. So where do you come in that continuum to make it not someone's full-time job?
Yeah, I mean, no one goes to school that opens a med spa for marketing, right? Like, they're a nurse, they're a doctor, they're an esthetician. They don't teach you about marketing. And it's a whole other, like, expertise, right? You're expected to know it all as a business owner. And so I'm super passionate about helping med spa owners not only develop a strategy, but make sure that they're data driven to make informed decisions, not only about their marketing, about their compensation plans, about their consultation plans, about their membership, because it all comes full circle.
Yeah, you know, when I started out at Aesthetic Record, I didn't do any marketing. Like, I have a business background, as you guys all know, business consulting, high-level stuff. We always had agencies that did it for us. Like, you hire the agency, you walk away, they come back with their deliverable, and everyone's happy. And I came here, and we're a small business. You know, we're a startup. I had to find myself learning all of a sudden using Canva, graphic design, writing on the content. I do all of it myself, which is, by the way, traumatizing most days. But I know, just for us here, I mean, it's an exhausting thing. I feel like my full-time job here is marketing all the time. So I can't imagine if you're running a new med spa, a new business owner, trying to grow a med spa, learn how to inject, learn how to be a business person, and, oh, by the way, learn all the marketing skills. Like, that's a pretty big, like, triangle of trauma, if you want to call it that, for a person trying to do it. So thinking about what you do at Diamond Accelerator, you are the patient, obviously. Like, we are the patient. We know what we want, right? So what's your unique advantage, even thinking through that, compared to maybe other agencies that are very complex or more layers, more things for you to be able to quickly and, you know, forcefully impact the practices?
Well, it all starts really with having a proven offer, right? And that is one of the things that I'm so passionate about developing with clients, and not allowing them to just dictate off of, like, I feel that, like, this is going to really work. One of the benefits of working with an agency like myself, where we only work with med spas, is that we have data from med spas all across the country on every single type of med spa offer there is. So we have a good idea of what you can expect for a cost per lead, a cost per patient acquisition, before we even start a campaign. Because it really doesn't vary that much whether you're in a small town, midsize, or large market. It doesn't vary that much at the end of the day.
One thing about that too with cost, you know, cost per click, cost per lead. We work with a lot of manufacturers. We do some programs for manufacturers actually through AR, and it varies wildly based on how they work their strategy. So not the offer itself.
Yep.
It's what channel they're using. If they're using a phone number versus a, you know, a click to book, or they're doing a contact funnel form of some sort. I think that more of the offer itself and like how you distribute it out to your audience is such a huge difference. And I think now social media, the algorithm is changing. Google just changed the algorithm last week and flip all of our worlds with PageRank. So, and that's even an evolving constant thing. But we think about proven offers, like give us an example of a thing that, you know, you think might really work and then it just falls flat on its face.
Well, it's the little things, right? Well, what I can tell you right now, the hot, sexy offers that are really working across the country is threads and RF microneedling. Not to say that those thread consultations that come in convert every time to threads, but if they don't convert to threads, they certainly can to injectables or devices. So it's not a wasted opportunity, and the cost per lead is like one of the hottest right now. So I'm a big fan of thread offers. Another one is RF microneedling, of course. When I have clients that are like, oh, let's do the skin pin or just traditional microneedling, I love that treatment, but the cost per lead is 2 to 3 times higher than RF microneedling, even though you know, the price point is so much higher, and that's a hard thing for some med spas to hear and register, but it's just the hot thing right now. A couple years ago, skin pin was like the rage, right? But not today in today's market.
Well, I think with RF microneedling, you get great results too, better than skin pin. So not only do you have an offer that goes out, people come in and buy it, then you get to show the B&A of that. And then it's like it's a never ending cycle of prosperity, we hope, right? That we sell it, we have great results, we sell it again and again and again. And that's kind of what, you know, what we want to do here too. But if you think about threads, like what an amazing margin that you make anyway. But I think about, this is going to be controversial, guys. Here's my number one controversy topic of the podcast. I think about Groupon that way. I don't care about Groupon. I don't care what they buy on Groupon. If they get in the door of the practice, it's my chance to sell them something else. I just want to get them in the door. And so I have seen practices who have crazy successful top VIP 20% who came in off of Groupon because they just use it as lead gen, not as like actual selling. I'm going to get hate mail for saying that, but I think there is something to whatever your lead gen funnel is, you still have to trade them up when they get in the front door.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I don't really care what the offer is either. And sometimes I even challenge my clients to be like, don't even tell your provider what they scheduled their appointment for, because every single patient that walks through their door, they better get a head-to-toe consultation. But they're not doing it. And that's what happens when you have a la carte treatment plans, letting the patient dictate what they think that they need or what their budget is. And that's when you're turning and burning through new patients and never really like truly getting the benefit of your marketing dollars, because you don't make a ton off of new patients by the time you pay your marketing fees. Right. It's that second, that third, that lifetime visit. So if your consultation process sucks, if your rebooking process sucks, you're never going to get a good return on investment in your marketing, no matter how good your cost per lead is.
Yeah, I want to dive into that. I want to go back to proven offers, because I have more questions here. I'm curious about, geographically speaking, because we work here at AR with a lot of like flyover states, you know, the Idahos, the Iowas, the states that you think about New York, you know, Florida, the big boys. I'm curious, as you think about proven offers, does that matter? Because I look at practices like in Minnesota. They want to look very refreshed, very light amount of work. Don't tell anyone I'm doing it. Florida, they're like, hey, baby, give me a big booty. Does it vary, or is the offer more about the words and the semantics that you use and less about the actual product, if that makes any sense?
Give me flyover states all day long. They want it. Like, it's not that it's new in those states, but it's not as inundated, right? And yes, the creative looks a little bit different. The copy really doesn't look that different. But what we like to do to create really custom, beautiful creatives for our clients is we give them storyboards where they use their cell phone, take 3 to 5 second mini clips, and we give them exact instructions like, you know, scan the body or zoom in on the device. Just little mini clips with their cell phone. They don't need to hire a videographer. Upload those, share those with us, and then our videographer puts them together, puts overlays and music and filters And it looks like $1 million, and you didn't have to hire a videographer or fly out and do anything on site. And it's amazing because it's custom, but we're not using supermodels. We're not using like people that they're not seeing in their community, right? And so the scroll stopping is fantastic, and the conversion rate really works.
Yeah, you just hit a hot button for me, which is stock imagery. I hate it. I think it has the opposite effect on a patient. When they see stock photography, they think to themselves, one, they don't have their own BNAs. Like, where are their patients? I think it's even if that's not true, it signals that of like, you don't care enough about your own population to sit down and take pictures and put them on your collateral of some sort. But I think it also has this thing of, I don't see myself in that person. Like, I'm not her. I'm an average, working mom, tired, haggard. If you guys see me right now on Instagram or on YouTube or Spotify, you can tell I'm haggard and tired. But it just doesn't look like them. It looks like someone who's doctored up, airbrushed, et cetera. So stop using stock imagery. Just take the freaking picture. I get really heated about that. But I don't know your thoughts, even like on website design, thinking not even about social, but bring it back to your website. How does that connect the message that you're offering and the offers to the website copy and how you create the voice, I guess, of the practice?
100%. I start all my clients off with what I call the shot list, where I give you a PDF of, and yes, you can hire a photographer in your local market or shoot them with your freaking cell phone. My cell phone on my camera is so amazing. Sometimes you can't even tell the difference, right? And sometimes we have that 20 or 25 year old working in our office that she is amazing on her camera and her filters and whatnot. And you can get amazing photos. The reality is when they see your ad and they see the person doing the treatments and the consultations or the front desk, and then when they come in and they're talking and getting service by those same people, that trust level jumps up. It really does. It makes a huge difference.
Well, what does the filler content look like too? Because think about the offer being, one piece of the puzzle. What about the content the other 4 days of the week or the other 3 days of the week? Because your content, if you guys haven't followed her on Instagram, go find her. Your Instagram, first of all, your grid is gorgeous. I mean, you have great thumbnails everywhere. I can tell you take time. I can tell you're a marketing person, and I'm not, obviously. But what about all the other content? How does it support that message and kind of carry that through when I'm not, quote unquote, selling something to the patient?
Well, do you follow Gary B?
Who doesn't?
Right. So he always talks about jab, jab, right hook, right? So, and if you follow my content, I can't remember the last time that I tried to sell you something in my content. I just want to share. I want to give value because I know it's going to come back to me eventually, right? And so I feel the same exact way with med spas and their organic content. Stop selling, give, of course, your like promos or whatever, but entertain them. Educate them, inspire them, show them what makeup you wear, show them like you having lunch with your team, show them when you're training and learning. Like, they love that stuff. They want to be your friend in addition to you being their provider. They really do.
What I find too, when they celebrate providers on Instagram, all their patients chime in like, oh, we love her. She's so great. You get so much engagement when you say, oh, Nurse Jane did this amazing thing today. Everyone's like, oh, I love Nurse Jane. She's so great. And you can just see the engagement because it's from a good place of like organic wanting to celebrate their injector or their esthetician, that you see so much more like, user-generated content. They share their person. They share, oh, my nurse got, recognized today, whatever it is. I think that those kind of posts, like the lifestyle post, for me, are really important. I don't do nearly enough of it here because it's so much going on. I need to be doing it. But I love to see that. I love to see them kudo their team. And again, the office looks the same. The people are the same. It all comes kind of full circle. So go, Gary B. We love you. Maybe you'll hear our podcast. I doubt it. But going on to the next part of this. So let's say I do an amazing offer. I get them in the front door. Or, I try to get them in the front door. I get my lead comes in. What happens next? I feel like that's where we fall off the cliff of like the leads come in, but then nothing ever happens with the leads.
Yeah. So two things I ask someone that calls up interested in marketing with us, but they've invested money in the past and they just can't make another mistake, right? But they're willing to maybe try it again. And so I ask them, what is your follow-up process and what is your scheduling process? And most of the time they look at me like, well, we call them and they're crappy leads. Well, guess what? The reality is they're not crappy leads. It's that you think that they are going to marry you on your first date. They see your ad and you think they're automatically just going to come in and spend thousands of dollars with you. And that's not the reality, because research shows that you have to touch new patients, leads, 8 to 10 times before they convert into a patient. And the reality is that a human, your front desk, a new patient coordinator, they don't have time to touch every single lead 8 to 10 times, right? Most med spas are getting 100 to 200 leads per month. Times that by 8 to 10, you don't have, nobody has time for that, right? So what that means is you have to utilize automation and technology. Now, I'm not saying automate everything, right?
But a lot of it.
Yes,
automate a lot of it.
Yes, because if you can automate, you know, 6 or 7 of those 8 to 10, that your team can just focus on those patients that have just maybe one more question before they're ready, then you're really focusing on people that are closer to that end buying point, right? But for a lot of direct response marketing or even social media marketing, they're entering in a variety of places in the sales cycle, right? They might be like, I've never heard of you before. I've never thought of getting that treatment. I'm thinking about that treatment, right? Whereas if it's like, you know, AdWords or a referral or SEO, those people are ready to buy. So people think, oh, I love that. I want more of that, right? But the reality is that the quality is really good, but the quantity is really small. But on the flip side of direct response marketing, the quantity is really high, but I always say you got to sort through the crap to get to the good stuff. Right. And you want to use technology and automation to do the heavy lifting for you so you can, your team can really focus on that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm big into, I don't know if you know who Donald Miller is, Storyteller Brands, but I'm obsessed with him. The Epiphany Bridge. I've lectured on this many times and it's one of my favorite topics. But I think about that a lot with nurturing campaigns is every person has a different need in that journey, right? Like I need to be educated on the, you know, microneedling because I've already been doing other things, filler, Botox, whatever, but I need to know about this procedure, or I'm new to category altogether, or I've had a bad experience. I want you to top me off the ledge to come back in. So whatever that thing is, it's like you have to almost know in your nurturing campaign what patient came in via what channel and what to nurture with if they don't say yes on date number one, you know, to the marriage, to keep them coming in. And I think we don't do that. I think we say it's all the same story for all the same people and all the same brands and all the same things, and we don't vary our nurturing up. You know, new patient, new lead, existing patient, maybe a disengaged patient, we're trying to bring them back. Like there's multiple, I mean, automations, we automate everything here. I'll just be honest. We live by AI and automation and machine learning here at NAR. But within that, we have to change the nurturing campaign based on where they are in their journey. Is it a 30-day, a 60-day, a 90-day, whatever it is? And that takes work to build all that stuff. You have to kind of figure all that stuff out. So do you guys help with that part of it, or do you help them figure out the different journeys to cross the Epiphany Bridge, or how do you kind of play in that part of it?
Yeah, but isn't what's so great about it is like once you do it once, it
it
can work forever for you.
Walk away. Yeah.
Yes. So I am a strong believer is that you don't need to market every service that you have. You got to figure out what you want to be known for and or what is your gateway to all of your services, and focus your nurturing and your follow-up campaigns on what you want to be known for and what is your gateway. That really is what's going to like speak to the most people and give you the best return on investment.
And I also think within that, we also believe in SOPs here. we're a cycle little organization over here, we're a little bit crazy. I think that follow-up is a SOP-driven process. Like I think you should have in your practice, when a lead comes in within the first X amount of minutes or hours, you call or email or text the lead, or an automation fires off. And then you have like a cadence that you keep the whole practice accountable to, because if you ever don't put it on paper, even digital paper, on paper, then it doesn't get followed. Like we know that. I feel like that's very easy to say. If you don't write it down and make everyone follow it, it'll never happen. But I think that there is a, in all businesses, not just aesthetics, in all businesses, there is a lack of consistent follow-up that's process-driven. And so we can't really test. We can't even A/B test because we don't know. Nothing is consistent. So we're kind of just out here wandering around in space. But how do you, like, what is your recommendation for practice if they don't use automations, if they are doing it still kind of mom and pop style, to follow up and what the cadence should look like on emails, texts, all that kind of stuff?
I think you need to use a variety of tools first and foremost, because everyone has different forms of communication that they prefer. Now, my favorite is absolutely text. I mean, 95% open rate within the first 10 seconds of receiving a text, right? I love voicemail drops, huge fan of a voicemail drop that then follows up immediately with a text message, because very few people want to talk on the phone these days. So, like, don't even really waste your time doing that. Just do a voicemail drop that you can make sound pretty custom And again, make it once and it can work forever for you. And then, of course, email. You know, with email open rates, this where it's at now, but it's still important. Like, why not do it? It's like the cheapest form of marketing there is. So you want to use a combination of all of those things, and then even DMs if you can. So the frequency is as soon as a lead comes in, you better jump on that. And if it is like after hours, again, you want to have some technology and automation built in place. But at the start of business hours, people expect you to return their phone call and or text. And if you don't within an hour, then you're pretty much lost them. And that's why at Diamond Accelerator, we have done for you scheduling. And so not only do we set up your lead nurturing and follow-up campaigns, but we do done for you scheduling as well, where an aesthetic record is like my favorite EMR that clients have because it's so easy to use.
We're launching a brand new online booking portal. It's going to blow your mind, sister. You just wait for it. Give me a couple weeks.
Well, I am excited to see that. But really, it is one of the easiest for us to use and to be able to schedule appointments because we just know that if you don't respond in a timely manner, they're going somewhere else. If you don't, whether it's a question or an appointment, they're going to go somewhere else if you don't respond quickly. So if you're someone that's not outsourcing it, then you better have a chain of command that is responsible for it. And if you're a large team and you're like, oh, yeah, everyone at my front desk, it fails every single time because no one takes ownership over it.
Oh, yeah. We have a practice that we work with who does a Google Doc, if you will, or Google, you know, Google Sheet. And they have to put in the lead who they talked to, who did it. Like, they track everything. Now we have a different system for that we're helping clients find. But they track it all because then you'll never know if what you're doing works if you don't track it to see if it actually works. But we put a leads AP, like a leads table inside of AR because of that reason. They would get the leads in and they would just let them stay dormant in their system. So like, we're going to put it in your AR dashboards. You see it and then you'll know to follow up with it. But I feel like that's, you know, for us online booking, we're big about online booking because they want something right now. Like if they do decide on that first date to get married, they want to go book in this moment. And if you're not there to book them, like, tough luck, they're going to go down the street. So even if it's not your full menu of services in the booking, even if it's a consultation, have something online. I feel like that you can have somebody book in so they can at least feel like they're getting in the practice. You don't have to put in there, like, your facelifts. I mean, obviously, but to be, you know, extreme here, but at least something to get them booked into the practice. But I think the other part of that with email you mentioned is they may not read the email right now, but they'll go back if they think about you and they'll look for it and see if they can find a previous email that you've sent and look at it for reference. We see that, like, we see open rates that are, like, months later, they're opening emails because they remember that we advertised a thing on an email or we had, you know, some kind of a communication. They'll go back and search for us and find it and open it. So I think there's, you know, email is like one of those, it's almost like a supporting document to a much bigger story that you just have, you know, in the back pocket. But okay, so on with that. Let's say they come in, we get them in the front door, they actually say yes, they show up. Then where do we suck at that point?
Well, the biggest difference on return on investment from one med spa to the next really has nothing to do with lead or appointment acquisition costs. It all has to do with the consultation process and really recommending a comprehensive treatment plan and not a la carte, they scheduled for hydrofacial, here you go, see you later kind of thing. That's the biggest difference because when they come in, a lot of providers are just in such a rush running from one patient to the next. They have the excuse, the mental block in their head that they don't have time to do the consultation. So, you know, a lot of practices don't have an aesthetic interest questionnaire, right? And so they might tell them the first time that they come in all the great services they have to offer, but the patient wasn't ready to receive it at that time. So when they come in the second or third time, like, how disappointing is it for a med spa owner when you hear a patient said, I've been here coming here for a year, I had no idea that you had whatever, the salt facial. I had no idea kind of thing. Because after they come in for that first treatment, we just never talk about those things because we just let them dictate and tell us what we think they need kind of thing. And so many dollars are being left on the table. And you're not really fulfilling your professional obligation of providing a transformational result or even the result that they told you that they were looking for because you're in a hurry, because you have money mindset blocks, right? You think they can only afford so much. Mm-hmm. So then you're only recommending, you know, that one treatment, not the package, not the skincare, not injectables to go with it. And so you really have to map out the entire patient journey. So your front desk is working with your providers, and your providers are having all the tools that they need to recommend really a transformational treatment plan, and then ask for a commitment. That's a big one too, is that they are afraid to make the patient tell them yes or no, I want to do that, and they'll pass it off to the front desk. But you're giving your power away when you don't get a yes or a no. I always tell clients, it's okay if they say no, because then you can get to, like, maybe you didn't answer one of their questions, or at least you have an opportunity to overcome the objection. But if you hand it off to your front desk and then they tell your front desk no, they're not empowered to overcome a questions and objections. So your close rate, the average ticket per sale, greatly decreases. And that's the biggest game changer on return on investment with new patients in marketing, is the consultation process.
There's so much to unpack there. I gotta think about the order I want to ask these questions in. So you come from a sales background, right? You did sales. I've been in sales for like 150 years, I feel like. We learn how to sell. Like in corporate America, you learn sales tactics. You learn closing. You learn whether you use DISC or a GPS model. Like you learn how to read your patient, or in our case, you know, our customer, B2B sales. And you really go through extensive sales training. I think we miss that in this industry. I would love to teach a class for providers of just how to sell things, like a retail-based how to sell shit class, because I feel like that's what we don't know how to do here. We just think that this really great conversation is going to sell. And I can tell you, if that were the case, we'd all in the President's Club at Allergan and Galderma and MERS. If that were the case, we'd all walk across the stage with a big trophy and a trip to the Bahamas or, you know, wherever else. Think about your sales rep in your practice. They come in with a laundry list of stuff every time they come in your practice to talk to you about. And they never let you forget anything. They remind you every single visit what you need to be buying. I think looking at your sales reps, people get really upset about, you know, sales reps in the practice, but use them as a training tool to see what they're doing, and then take that and extrapolate what they do that you like and bring it back into how your providers work at the bedside with your patients, because they've been taught and trained by the best in the industry in selling. That's why they're in that job, and they get to keep that job. So there is a lot to learn, I think, just on the selling front. Now, you can say what you want about that. Go for it.
I love that so much, because if there are device reps coming in and selling, you know, $100,000, $200,000 devices to you, you're absolutely right. They are there because they are freaking good sellers. And you shouldn't just look to them for, like, oh, teach my girls how to turn on the device and do pulses. You should ask them for help in teaching how to sell. Mm-hmm. How to sell. And I think that first and foremost, we need to help the med spa industry to overcome the mental block that sales is a dirty word. Everyone is selling something. I don't care if you're a school teacher or, you know, a nurse practitioner, everyone is selling something. And we're selling beauty and confidence to women to give themselves permission to commit to a treatment plan that's going to make them feel better about themselves. I just got goosebumps because because you're so right that we need to focus on a huge portion of training with our teams on the sales process. And it first starts with having, like, confidence to ask for money, right? It's not about turning on the device. That training, like, that's like a given, right? But it has to – I'm a huge proponent of having it scripted out. And you got to learn that script. You got to role play. You got to have secret shoppers until you know it from your gut.
Yeah, it's like the trial clothes. What do you mean you're gonna try on a clothes? I'm like, no, a trial clothes. Like, you're gonna prepare to close them before you close them. Like, there's all these things you learn, obviously, you know, when you're a seller for your job. But I think there's a lot of nuances to it too. Just with patients wanting to be sold to. Patients want to be sold to because they want to know what you have to offer. Think about a mechanic. I use this example a lot when I give this talk. If I go in because my tires are low, or I have I'm out of balance, out of alignment, and the guy's like, yeah, fix your tires, and I drive off and my car blows up. I'm like, what the hell, man? He's like, oh yeah, your engine was for sure gonna blow up. I just thought you were here for your tires. Like, you'd be so mad at that mechanic. I'm like, you let me leave here in an unsafe car. You knew the motor was gonna blow up. You didn't tell me, but you just came here for your tires. You didn't ask about your motor. Like, that's what we do in med spas. I think we forget about. You might want to improve, you know, let's say the jawline, but what about sculpture pan facially? Because your entire skin needs a refurbish remodel. I think we sometimes fixate on the thing that they're coming in for because we don't have enough time. It's an easy hanging fruit. We know how to do it. It just makes life easier to just go with the flow. It's like the whole thing about converting from Botox to Dysport. Oh, the units are hard and it's different. People, you know, the pricing is different. Yeah, but if it's better and you believe in it, go sell it. Sell what you love. Like, find a way to do it. I get so confused by that in this industry that we talk about consultations all the time about how to do it, complete panfacial consultation, all the offers, all the services. But we never say, then here's how you're going to close that deal. Here's how you're going to convert that customer into a lifelong patient. It kind of falls off the ledge at that point. I think we're missing that. So aesthetic next, we need to figure out how to talk about how to sell stuff.
I agree. I mean, in my consultation script that I share with clients, like I have a whole list of like closing statements. Mm-hmm. Like first you need to know, is it time to close or do I need to continue to get micro commitments, overcome questions and objections kind of thing. But once you know when it's time to close, like have your go-to close statement. So sometimes it's like, oh, did you want the package or did you want to go the membership route? It's not like, do you want this one treatment today? It's like, no, did you want the package of three or did you want to go through the membership route instead? Because again, they're underselling because they're lacking confidence or they're judging what they think the patient can afford.
I think also be okay to say, if you can't buy what you need, I can't treat you. I think about, you know, even like lips and things, you know, or if you need to get, you know, I'll give you a great example. We started selling Restylane Lift back a million years ago with Galderma. They'd want to buy one syringe. I'm like, one syringe and two cheeks isn't even worth the time that it takes you to sit in the chair. Like that's just silly. And they can't invest in at least a syringe per cheek. And they really need, you know, a true improvement or correction. They're not the right patient for you because you're going to walk out of here having spent money on that, not happy, not pleased. And now you're going to have a product that doesn't work, quote unquote. So as a sales rep, too, I was always like, nope, don't do it because you're going to think that my product failed you. Actually, the quantity failed you, not the product failed you. And so we would spend a lot of time saying at open houses, you come stand beside me, provider, and listen to me sell to your patient. And then you go do what I'm saying in the treatment room when I leave here and you'll figure it out. Because they needed to hear somebody, I think, who was like, no, you have to have two. Like, we can't do that here. They're like, oh, my God, you told her no. I'm like, yeah, because the answer was no. And then she come back and she'd buy three. You know, they've never been told no before as a patient. So I think telling them no makes them, I don't know, it gets their mind working. But I just think that the ability to say no, it's not enough. Let's try a different route of some sort. Pivoting, being, you know, agile and things, not getting stuck in your way of saying, I have to sell this thing every time. I just bought a device, I have to sell that device. I just bought a laser, I have to sell that laser. I think I'm getting to that pitfall as well, especially with devices because they are a bit of a different animal. But you do a lot of device work too, don't you?
Yeah, I like to do is to repeat their pain points that they said, you know, I came in for, and I'm a big proponent in handing that patient the mirror and asking them, what do you see when you look in the mirror? And that's not a negative question, but women right away go in and shred themselves and say, I don't like X, Y, and Z, right? Even though maybe they just came in for lips, when you hand them that mirror, they're talking about their eyes and their double chin and they're talking about it all, right? So that is your gateway to really, you know, then talking about a whole full face balanced injectional like treatment plan and how to add in devices and maintenance and whatnot. And then when it comes down to after you make the recommendation, I'm like, no, I can't do that. Or can I just start with one syringe? Then you can go back to, well, you know, you told me that you were looking for this result. And for us to achieve that, this is the protocol that it's going to take. And what I would hate is to just go ahead with that one, and then you're going to be really unhappy with the results. Shall we get started today then? And if they still like, oh, it's just not in the budget. And then you'd come back with, well, what were you hoping to stay within for your budget to get a range? Once they give you that number, you can always go up anywhere between 15 to 20% of what they tell you their budget is. And then what you want to do is future pace them and timeline it out so that you don't cut the treatment plan per se short to get the end result, but you manage their expectations of like, well, based on your budget today, I feel comfortable that we could do, you know, X and Y, but when your budget allows, you're really going to come back in the next 3 months to do, you know, phase two of that treatment plan so that you're really happy with your results.
Oh, yeah. Then it's a better investment. And I think part of it too is downtime. I think we're so inclined as people to think that if we get more, it's going to be more downtime. It's going to hurt more and take longer. I think explain to a patient that if you get one syringe or two syringes, the downtime is the same. If you get microneedling, you know, RF on your whole face and neck versus just your whole face, guess what? It's the same downtime. Like, I think that's also part of it. People will hide behind the money because they're scared of what's going to happen, or if it's going to hurt, or if it's going to be, you know, can I go out in public? I have friends asking all the time, if I have Botox today, can I go out in public tomorrow? I'm like, oh my God, I'll go on camera 10 minutes later. Of course, I'll get my lips done and go on stage. Like, I have no shame. But they are, I think that they are afraid, and they cover up their you know, their afraidness, their scaredness with, you know, money conversations. But I think the other part of that too, I'd say, is if they come in for something specific, you have to address that thing first and get it off the table. Get that elephant out of the room. Like, if they're obsessed over their eyes, let's start there, address that concern with some kind of a remedy, and then move on from it. Because if you don't, if you wait till the end for that and you start going full face correction and all that, they're going to be like, what the hell? I came in here for my eyes and she hasn't even talked about that yet. And we're 35 minutes in. Like, when's she going to discuss my eyes? So I think you do have to, although we are big, all of us, about, you know, the whole face, the whole consult, the whole service, address their most critical need first, and then the mind chatter that they have is gone. Like, they quiets in their mind. They can then focus on what you're saying next. So,
yeah, give them what they want.
First, and then you get it off the list. You know, it's like a little kid. Give them that piece of candy. They'll stop crying long enough to hear the next thing you're going to say. Same kind of idea. We are just big kids, right? We're all just big kids. Same kind of thing. But okay, so we've gone through proven offers. We've looked at following up within 10 minutes, hopefully, you know, up to an hour. And if more than that, you're going to lose them.
Nurture them.
Yes. Nurture. They come into practice, actually doing a great consult and selling. And you mentioned treatment plans. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, too. As you think about plans and long-term commitments, how do you frame that up for your customers where they are coming back on the right cadence, rebooking, getting on the flow, getting in the schedule, and keeping that kind of that wheel going?
Yeah. It really, in the consultation, you have, throughout the whole conversation, you really have to educate them on the importance of keeping a schedule, right? And how long the results are going to last, and what the maintenance and the upkeep, all of that, education. That's when they're not going to view you as being salesy, right? If you wait to the very end and be like, oh, well, you know, you have to come back. And then it's like, well, you know, now you're just trying to sell me on the next thing, right? But if you're educating them throughout the whole process of the importance of keeping a schedule, right? Your results are going to extend and last longer. We're aging every day. We're exposed to environmental toxins every day. So nothing is ever a one and done treatment and that's it, right? There's always like the next thing. And I always like compare it to, you know, working out. Like, you always got to work out, right? And sometimes we have ebbs and flows, right? But we realize that we always got to come back to it. And I feel like it's the same with our, you know, beauty regimens, right? Like, we'll be really on and consistent, and then we won't be. And then we're like, whoa, I got to get back in. Like, you feel it, you see it, right? And so we just need to educate them. And then we need to make it super easy for them to keep that schedule.
Yeah, you know who does this really well? Dentist. They are the rulers of rebooking. You don't ever leave the dentist office without having to write. I write my own post, like your little postcard. They give you a postcard and say, okay, fill it out with your name on it, your email, you know, your address. And I get a postcard to my house that I wrote. They don't even have to do the work. I do all the work for them in the practice. But it reminds me of my 6-month visit, my 1-year visit, whatever it is. But you never, ever leave without rebooking. And I feel like half the battle here is people are booked out, you know, 7, 8, 9 weeks, which I think is a really tough place to be in. But even with that, the patients don't come back because they don't know they should come back. If you force them into a rebooking habit, yep, then for one thing, you can predict your revenue, right? You can see what you're going to have on your schedule in a month or 2 months. So you have some kind of an idea of how busy you're going to be. But also because the patient then gets into a rhythm and a flow of, yep, every 3 months I'm going to be in for my toxin, every 6 months for my filler, you know, top off. It just is a better cycle of business than, well, I'll call you whenever I'm ready to go have it done again. Because then it's too late. I mean, you know that with toxin. If you wait till you need it, it's 2 weeks too late. You got to do it before you need it.
Two things. Like, one, you should be tracking your rebooking rates. And it's the provider's responsibility. Even though, you know, your front desk is the one actually booking it, your provider should be getting the commitment for the rebooking. And you want to hit 80%. If you're hitting 80% and above in your rebooking rates, you're doing pretty darn good. If you just increase the number of visits per year and you keep, you know, hitting that rebooking rate without you spending any additional marketing dollars, you're going to grow your revenue substantially just by focusing on that rebooking rate. And it's such a simple thing to do, but you got to pay attention to it. You got to track it. It's got to be a part of your provider's, you know, benchmarks and KPIs.
Yes. frequency of visits. Like, that's the number one way. Well, not, there's four ways to grow a business, but that's one of the big ones. It's like, get them to come back at least one more time per year and to spend a little bit more every time. Like, if they can just spend a little bit more every time and then come back at least one more time, you've like tripled your revenue. And then you're fishing in your own pond. There's no more cost per click on a patient who's already in my nurture wheelhouse, right? I'm just going to get them to come back more, not spend money for a whole new lead, a whole new acquisition, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the frequency of visit, that's a toxin issue too. You know, the manufacturers have that problem too. They want them back four times a year. Now at Daxi, it's going to be twice a year. But that's a concern for even like, you know, Aspire, for Ally. It's like, how do you get them in more often? With rewards programs, they're trying to do it. But I think it comes down to habits and forming like a true cycle where you know that it's just every 3 months, you got to book and come in, book and come in. And you just get in the habit of it. And then to your point, look in the mirror one day, like, oh my gosh, I haven't come in. And it's been past 3 months. I've got to get there like right now. But we have to force patients to comply by how we set up our office protocols and processes, I feel like.
100%. 100%. And if they happen to slip through the cracks and, you know, those 20% that fall off on that 80% rebooking rate, then you need to reactivate them through internal marketing efforts. So I'm a huge proponent of text blasts. One of the things that I like to do with my clients is have them pull their 3 month neurotoxin report. So anyone that came in 3 months ago that had neurotoxin and haven't booked, they get a reactivate, and we send them a link to make it really easy to schedule their appointment. It's been 3 months since your last neurotoxin appointment. We'd love to get you scheduled. You know, give us a call, or here's a link for you to schedule.
Love that. That's, I just feel like that's the lowest hanging fruits, toxin, because yes. everyone's going to get toxin, right? That's like we all, even in a down economy, you don't let your toxin go. You'll forget to like change the oil in your car. You won't get your tires done, but you will get your toxin.
That's right.
But thinking through it to that same kind of internal marketing aspect, we get asked this a lot here. I have opinions on it for sure, but memberships. I'm a big proponent of any kind of program that creates loyalty to the practice and makes them feel like they're almost married to you. As if they can't go somewhere else because they've already invested in the practice. They've invested money in some kind of a wallet somewhere, and so they don't choose to leave. But how do you feel memberships impact overall marketing ROI, and do they really work, and should we start investing in all of us thinking about how to bring one into our practice?
100%. I am a huge proponent in memberships, but I like to use, you first got to determine what is your goal with your membership. Are you like more of a low ticket volume play, or are you like pushing to get that, you know, that high ticket transformational treatment and then convert them into maintenance on a membership? And there's no right or wrong answer. Depends on what devices you have, what the strength of your providers are, all of those things, right? But you need to make a clear-cut goal of the strategy of your membership, and then you got to go in all in on it.
Yeah, like, are you going to give away stuff, or are you going to give away money? Like, are you going to give them free units, or are you going to give them money in their wallet? Are you going to give them a service of some sort, esthetician service, you're going to give them, you know, discounts off? And I think some memberships become extraordinarily complex.
Yes.
We see them here. I mean, we built our program to be, you get some discounts on some things, you can give away some free goods, and you get, you know, a recurring revenue kind of thing. But they want to have points for this and 2 points for this, and you have to take 3 points to get this thing, then you can get a free good here. And I'm like, you have made yourself, first of all, this thing is so confusing, I can't even understand it. I'm the one trying to help you administer it. Your patient has no, and I know what goes on in office, and they don't know at all. They're totally confused. But then you can't administer the thing, and it becomes just this paperwork nightmare. And there's Excel spreadsheets everywhere. We've seen it. There's clipboards. There's post-it notes on charts. And like, just, first of all, automate, again, the key word there. But make it easy. Like, make it where a patient can follow along with you and invest mentally, not just financially, in what you're trying to achieve, whatever that goal might be.
Yeah, you got to keep it simple, stupid. Like, that's what I always say. And then also, when you sign them up for that membership, you have to teach them how to use it. That's the biggest reason people cancel their membership, is because they just don't use it, because they don't know what perks they get. They don't know how to use it. They don't know when they should come in. So they study, if they're not using it, it's just like that gym membership. You don't use it, then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm done. I'm off with that. So they should have a treatment plan for at least 6 months, if not the entire year, of how they're going to use their membership.
And I think you did that consultation, if the patient's not overwhelmed, to walk them through what that looks like. I'm like, I'm giving you this whole list of things you can do in the next 6 months. by the way, I have an option for you to get this less expensive or to get a better cadence or, you know, more free goods, whatever it is. Like at that point, you're not selling, you're saving. Yes. I'm going to save you money, not sell you anything. I'm going to save you money on what you already have to have that you know you need. We've already discussed it. And now I have a plan to give you, you know, to clip a coupon in a sense. I think then you're like, you're a savior, not a seller.
Yes, because we love to go home and tell our husbands, well, I saved money.
Yeah.
I joined the membership. Look how much money I saved.
I got free shipping on my Louboutins. I spent $3,000 to get $60 off shipping, but it was so good. I saved money.
And it's so much easier to explain that, you know, lower reoccurring monthly dollar amount than that big $3,000-$4,000 charge on the credit card. That lower amount is so much easier to explain.
Agreed. Even plans, we have like a subscription model here where you can pay, not even membership, but you pay whatever the total ticket is for the whole year. Up in payment, you know, you break it into payments. So it's like you do your cell phone if you guys buy an iPhone, you know, from T-Mobile, whatever. Same idea. But then you take this big giant ticket and you part it out, and then the patient commits to that long-term goal. And so at the end of that whole journey, they walk away feeling like $1 million because they have this complete transformation. They have what they wanted, what they came in for. I think about brides doing it. You know, I want my 3-month bridal treatment plan. I want my 6-month weight loss plan, the semaglutide. Oh my gosh, we should talk about that. It's everywhere. But these are the kind of things that when they walk away feeling like they've accomplished the checklist, I think there's also a mental component to that. Say, I finished the plan. I did all of it. Look how great I look. I didn't bail out halfway through because I got scared or I didn't have money. Because, again, I have a payment plan process to help me. Cherry, Klarna, Affirm. God, there's so many of them out there now. They can find a way. Trust me. They want it, they'll find a way.
The financing plans available today for med spas are so good. That's why I never really feel like money should be an issue to get that transformational treatment plan, because the financing options are for everyone, and they're really good terms. They're really good terms. Got to use it.
Yes. If you're not using one, if you're AR, we've got Cherry that's built into the system, but if you're not using one, I would definitely recommend using it, because now the fees are low. I mean, there's, you know, you can actually protect your margin where you couldn't years ago. It was like, it was like 80%, you know, the fees were just astronomical. So there are ways to do it, but thinking through kind of that whole paradigm and the whole shift and all the things we just talked about, if you could just sum up to us, like, where practices, like, what is the number one, just if they could walk away doing anything at all from this podcast, learning anything at all, like, what's the next right thing to do? That's a loaded question.
When it comes to your marketing,
yeah,
to make decisions based on data, not based on your gut or I feel like this worked, or I personally liked this creative. You need to make decisions based on data, and it really is like the data we track for clients. It's not just cost per lead, cost per appointment request, cost per acquisition, show up rate, average ticket per sale. Like, you gotta look at all the numbers, because I like to use the hydrofacial example. A lot of clients are like, oh, I need to get my esthetician busier. And I was like, okay, well, it's not difficult to get new patients in off of hydrofacial, but how good is your esthetician at converting them into the package or the membership? Oh, I don't know. She's pretty good. She's pretty good at selling product. And I was like, well, okay, well, let's give it a shot, but we're going to track the data for 3 months, and then you're going to be able to make an informed decision if Hydrafacial is really a good use of your marketing dollar. And time again, now there's a few that do a great job with it, but it's a la carte, one and done, and they never come back. They don't sell skincare. They don't sell into a package or a membership. They're just turning and burning through patients on that hamster wheel. And so that's not a good, I don't care how cheap a hydrofacial lead is or acquisition cost is. If you can't do anything after they come in for that appointment, that is not a good use of your marketing dollars. So you need to be data driven to make informed decisions on what platforms you should be on, what offers you should be doing, what offers you should be investing in driving new patients to your team members that are going to do something with those new patients.
Agree. Oh, you are after my heart today. I love the idea of like trading up on discounts. Yeah, Black Friday for me is like nails on a chalkboard. I mean, it really is. When I see everything, it's like, buy this, get this for free. I'm like, no, have them earn something or have to buy this thing to earn into a higher ticket item, or buy the high ticket item first and get the thing that you want them to trade up into. Like, let's say it is a skincare product or something as the freebie to get them hooked on that thing. Like, be strategic in thought of what you're pairing together. I think people get confused about, and even here we do it, confused about the money versus what the patient behavior will become because of the offer. like, I see that I'm going to make a lot of money on the deal. If they buy it, I'm going to be so profitable. Yeah, but what is it actually? Does it fit together? And will it turn into a future sell because of how you paired things? Like, I don't know, people who do like butts and lips in the same promo. I'm like, love that idea because they're now getting two areas. But does that trade up into a longer term relationship? I don't know, because they're not related and there's not really a follow up plan. You only get lips like once every so often, and your butt, you can only get so many BBLs, I mean, unless you're a Kardashian. So there's not like a long-term commitment to that, to either one of those deals, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like what is your ascension and descension model off of every single yes. treatment, right? So that's what, when we do a thread offer, I make my clients map that out so their entire team knows that. Because again, people, not all patients really know what they're getting into when they come in for threads. They think it sounds great and cool and they come in and they're like, oh shit, no, that is not for me kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
Great, that's fine. Let's transition into injectables or devices, or they better buy some skincare at least, right? But if you don't know, if your team doesn't know your ascension or descension model, and what that conversation sounds like, then of course that's when it comes back of like, well, these leads suck. These patients didn't buy, right? No one should ever leave without buying something if they spend 30 minutes of time with you.
Oh yeah. And if you're doing free consults all day and they don't buy, then gosh, you're just handing out money, like going down the freeway, handing out money. But I think there has to be, I love that you said ascension, descension. I call it like an elastic, you know, like an elastic promotion where if they don't buy the thing in the middle, they can have all these like ancillary surrounding things that they can buy. But yes, I love selling in, you know, in threes. Like, do you want the Coach bag? You want the Louis Vuitton? You want the Birkin? Like, which one do you want to buy? But you're going to buy one. You're not going to get the Fossil bag. Like, we're not selling that thing here. You got to have at least a Coach to walk in the front door. Of like, they may come in for the Fossil, but it's like, but we don't do that here. You're too good for that. You deserve more than that. I'm going to give you what you actually need, at least the base level. Toss in some Upneak, toss in something extra, skincare product, whatever. To, again, more money per visit. Even if it's incremental money, it's something more per visit, which, again, I already had the sunk cost. Like, everything past that point is just profit besides my, you know, cost of goods sold. I could go on. This is like, this is my heart right here. You guys know that. I will go on a gospel tangent, like a Pentecost preacher right here talking about sales and offers. But so, okay, data-driven, I'm all for that, getting all that done. And then if we think about our staff and like how we help our staff to get on board with all this, what is the next like people think we can do as a, you know, an admin of a practice, an owner of a practice to get the staff on board? Is it big trainings? Is it one-on-ones? Is it role plays? Mm-hmm. What do you recommend?
I first believe that you need to commit to mapping out your patient journey and what that looks like. And that starts before they even step foot in your med spa. So what does the communication and nurturing of that patient look like before they even show up? And then, you know, what's your front desk role? And then the provider's consultation in the checkout process. All too often, it is unclear. Each team member would have a different answer if I come into a med spa and say, what's your checkout process? Who's responsible for rebooking or getting a commitment or selling skincare? It's always like, oh, everyone does it. And when I hear that, I'm just like, because so much money is being left on the table and your patients aren't getting as good results as they possibly could. And they're leaving your med spa and they're going to the department store and they're buying skincare from them. Because you don't have time to ask them and it's not in your clear scope of work. So it's like moving on next person. So they're going to go, you know, buy at Target.
Yeah, I think having not in the journey, but also what your practice sort of brand looks like, you know, inside those four walls. Like the marketing is, let's say I work with you. You have this beautiful content that you put on Instagram for them. You've done all their, you know, digital marketing, the website, the verbiage, everything looks so great. Then they come in the front door and then everything looks different. We don't have the same words. We're not following the same kind of story that you built for us. It's, you know, I've got people who come from high volume, low margin, low volume, high margin, all mixed together by melting pot. They're all speaking about things in different ways. Some are high touch, some are, you know, white gloves. Some are just like, hey, you're here. Welcome. Go get in the chair. And then the practice loses its sense of identity because we're not all being trained, taught, and expected to follow the same kind of verbiage every time in every instance in every patient. Again, just like the checkout, like what is the SOP for how you talk about RF microneedling? What do you say? Who's the patient type? I think there's a gap there missing as well.
Yeah, I'm going to reference an unsexy business, which is McDonald's.
It's great.
what I love about McDonald's is their SOPs and systems are so tight that I know that whether I'm in Boise or Dallas, those French fries are going to be freaking delicious no matter where I get them. And that is what you need to do with your team, that no matter, you don't have an A team and a C team. It shouldn't matter who is doing the consultation because it should be scripted. Now, of course, they, you know, some are going to be better at, you know, going left or right. But until you really have an experienced team that's confident, you really need to have it scripted out. They need to learn it. You have to role play. You have to hold them accountable for actually doing it. Like, this is the skin savvy way or whatever. And have secret shoppers. You have to have a feedback loop until it comes from their gut.
Secret shoppers, go get some.
I'm doing it tomorrow morning. I have a secret shopper experience. I'm really excited about it. It's one of my favorite things to do.
It's so fun. It's real. I mean, it's real info. And having the same secret shopper go to multiple locations, if you're a multi-location practice, have the same person go to a couple of them, because they can experience how they were perceived and synthesized and processed across multiple locations, not just different people in different spots. But I'm all for the secret shopper. I think that's a genius idea. I think role play, people get freaked out at role play. Man, what better place to try it out than in a safe environment where you're not in front of a customer or a patient or a sales rep or whomever, that you fall on your face and it's real. I mean, you can't walk that back. You can with the role play, right? You can walk that back and figure it out and coach it. But I'm all about get on stage and try your hand at it.
Yeah, role playing, making them record on video. I mean, you're terrifying people. But I tell you what, they're going to learn it. They will learn it if they have to be in front of people or they have to be recorded. They will commit to learning it. There's just no way around it.
And I'll finish with this on my end. You cannot hold someone accountable to a goal that you can't teach them how to achieve. And I feel like in sales, that's what you have. If you're going to say you have to sell X amount of dollars for your productivity bonus or whatever it is that you're doing as a practice, you must convert this many patients with this much, you know, gross revenue, and you never give them the tools to actually successfully do that. How unfortunate for that provider to be penalized for that. You didn't give them the tools, but you gave them the command. You have to teach them and hold their hand, develop them, so they can then go out and actually succeed for you. If not, they're just navigating without Google Maps, right? Going through the dark, trying to find their way. And that's a really hard, really tough, mentally exhausting place to be for a person.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. If you haven't set your team up for success, you have no business complaining for them not meeting your revenue goal.
And that's in all businesses, not just med spa. Yeah. That's a global thing, not med spas. Many of our people here do a phenomenal work. We see such great results. So many have figured it out, and hopefully we'll continue to learn as an industry and start pouring more time into these things of like agreeing that it is a retail business, a medical retail business. Like, it is what it is, call it baby ugly. We are selling, to your point, and we have to just get on board with it and like do it and be good at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that I would love to offer everyone listening right now, because I am so passionate about really nailing the consultation process, is I'm going to be sharing a free training. Well, we can link it up in this.
Absolutely.
7 steps to delivering a 5-star consultation. And I literally not only give you the framework of that, but I script it out. That does 80% of the actual script for you. And you just have to customize it based on, who's doing the consultation, who's responsible for checkout and financing and whatnot. So I really do 80% of the script for you to hit the ground running and implement this with your team.
Okay, that's a huge deal. Let's replay that one more time. So 7 steps for a kick-ass consult, which is going to make you tons of money. You're doing almost all the work for them. It's a free training. You guys can get it from, I'll have the link inside the podcast post, on all the platforms and also on Instagram and such. That's a massive opportunity, because I feel like that's the thing that is expensive, because no one has that skill set kind of readily available, and they charge a lot of money to offer that kind of training. I'm going to go take that. I'm clicking on the link. I'll make my whole team do it here. Like, different industry or different thing, but the concepts are the same. That's fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of times we just need to give our team the language. They're missing that language. And once they have the language, they'll develop the confidence.
Oh, yeah. It's anything. We teach our demos here in didactic format. You have to just say the words, and over time you start using your own anecdotes. And we even give you some freebies, some fake anecdotes in the beginning. But they start putting in intonations, and they have fun with it, and they kind of go off the script. But then they always know to come back to those words without when they get nervous or scared, they still have that kind of memorized navigational tool to help them. So that's fantastic. Okay, as we wrap up here, give us ideas of how to find you, what all, you know, kind of other things you can do or how to get a hold of you besides just this amazing free class so that we can put all this content in our little post.
You can find me on all the social channels, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I have a free Facebook group where every week I go live and do a free training. It could be about marketing. It could be about consultations. It could be front desk training, marketing. I do it all.
Well, you're easy to find because you have really good content. So I think it's just your name, right? Your Instagram handle is just your name. So I'll put all that in there for you. But I'm telling you guys, these are like these kinds of free tools are just incredible and so valuable, and they will help. I think this entire podcast has been like a whole lesson in marketing. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed it profusely. I don't know about you, but I've loved it.
I have too. We're passionate about sales and marketing. So yes, it's been fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I hope we'll have some more content coming soon with you too. Maybe Aesthetic Next. You want to come visit us in September to Aesthetic Next? We'd love to have you.
I would love it.
We can do a whole workshop on this too, about sales skills and more. So guys, if you haven't checked it out yet, go find Caitlin Kaufman on Instagram. And certainly listen to, obviously, this podcast and all the things that she's doing on YouTube and on Facebook for free, which is fabulous. But I think for us, that's a wrap.
Thank you.
Anything you want to leave us with before we go?
No, thank you for having me.
Well, for the record, this has been a badass episode with lots of great content. We appreciate it. We will see you guys again next week for our final 5 episodes coming soon of season 3. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.